Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to live a happier and healthier life. Thank you for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series which introduces you to wellness professionals, offering their expertise and assistance. Today's topic is dementia care, how to reframe what your loved one says or does. If Alzheimer's or another form of dementia features in your life, directly or indirectly, I trust that listening to this podcast will offer you guidance and arm you with practical tools. The wellness professional I'm introducing today is Daniela Russo, gerontologist, neuropsychopedagogue, keynote speaker, and author from Brisbane in Australia. Welcome, Daniela.
Hello, Mariette. Thank you so much to have me here. How are you?
I'm very well. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you.
I'm so glad to speak to you for two reasons. One, for the very important topic we're addressing, and two, because you are my first guest from Australia.
Oh, that's very exciting. I feel very honored for your invitation. And yes, we are going to talk about, one of my favorite topics in life at the moment, that's dementia care. And I'm glad that I'm the first one in Australia to be interviewed by you. That's a big honor. Thank you.
Now, dementia is not an easy topic. And I found you on LinkedIn. And it interested me so much that you have a unique approach. Because as you say on LinkedIn, you bring your stand-up comedy dementia style to the subject,
yes,
because learning sticks better when people laugh.
Yes, exactly. Because dementia is a topic that people want to avoid or come with a lot of grief and sadness and frustration, people, I'm not just talking about the carers or the ones that was just diagnosed, they staff. Everyone is a kind of word that we don't want to talk, we want to hide. And I decide, that works for me. If I want to learn about something that is quite painful to learn, as a neuroscientist, I know when my brain is relaxed, when I have some fun, I can laugh, my brain's going to keep that message in a positive way, because our brains, they love drama and they always tend to be negative. That's something is already scientific proof. We stick more for the negative side of life than positive. When we talk about dementia, because it's something very grief with a lot of sadness, our brain tries to not put so much focus, so the brain doesn't pretend to not understand. But when I make a joke about something or the way that I speak or teach about dementia, people actually remember, because, we can remember funny things in our life. Like if you have a person in your life that told you a joke 30 years ago, I'm pretty sure you are going to remember. My family, they are really fun people. We make jokes a lot. And when my mom had dementia, that was the way that my family could cope, make jokes about everything. And it's why I understand that when I teach people in a very stand-up comedy show, people laugh. And then has time to laugh, has time to cry. In the end, they leave my sessions a little bit more light and with more hope for the future. So it's why I do like to use you know, positive and funny things to explain what's dementia.
Yes. Daniela, you wrote on LinkedIn that people still think dementia is memory loss. Could you comment?
Yes. What is dementia? Have to go back. And that's what I'm doing now at the moment, to try and make people think out of the box. If you think about dementia, what dementia means is an ancient word from Latin that means without mind. Dementia, without mind. So back in the years, like when you have Socrates or that people in Greek, they would tell anyone that was out of mind, they will call dementia. So the first studies that we have about that, because people was acting like they don't have a mind to think. But thank you, with the neuroscience, with the technology, with the new research, we understand that dementia is not a disease, it's a condition. Is a group of symptoms that's caused by a disease. So we have many types of disease that can cause this group of symptoms that can be related as dementia. So the doctors, the clinical, is still using this word. I like it more. I am more in that people that we use brain disorder, because your brain has a disorder that can cause memory loss, can cause few symptoms. And when you do PET scans, when you do MRI in your brain, you actually can see what part of the brain is affected by that brain disorder. So the doctors actually can diagnose you properly. Because when you say someone has dementia, it's very generic. And people thinking that when you have dementia, is just when you cannot remember things. So people make fun. Like if I ask you what you ate yesterday or 2 days before and you don't remember, I can say, oh, you have showing us signs of dementia. Or if you have anything related with a short-term memory, people think, oh, it's dementia. But could be cause for lack of vitamins or other brain disorders like aneurysm, a brain tumor, could be a stress, could be provoked for many other things that is very temporary. To be classified as dementia has to be progressive. So it's why it's important that you see a doctor every 6 months, because then the doctor can see that the disease is progressing. It's why I don't like when people say it's just a memory loss. A lot of other disease can cause memory loss, and just the memory loss doesn't mean you have dementia. Women in a menopause, we do have memory loss. Doesn't mean we have dementia. Our brain gets foggy when you are under stress, when you are burned out, or when your brain is aging. That's normal. Doesn't mean you have dementia. So we have to be very careful who works in dementia care to understand that it's not just a memory loss. It's more about that. And it's why I try to explain through my articles everything that's related. Can I just explain how dementia happens actually in the brain?
Please.
Okay, so we know now with all the technology, with the neuroscience, that dementia is not a disease, is a condition. So it's a group of symptoms. The brain is losing neurons. So the neurons is the cell's brain. When they lost that connection, so one example, for we blink our eyes, we use maybe millions of neurons just to blink the eyes. So they are the executive tasks for the brain. When that group of cells, they die, it means the brain cannot perform that task. The few parts of the brain is going to send a message for that part of the brain for the executed task. But because it has no more cells, the neurons there, the brain is going to get confused. So instead execute that task, you are going to show other tasks. So that could, instead I blink my eyes, I might become aggressive, or I might become repetitive, or I might cry, because the brain is going to give back the first information that they can process. So it's why it's not just a memory loss. The big thing is to lose the executive tasks that the brain cells can do, like processing information, make judgment, and all this depends on what part of the brain that loss of neurons happen. And then that's going to tell the doctors, the neurologists, what type of dementia, what the disease actually is attacking your brain. And people, when they don't know, they just say, oh, it's Alzheimer's. They only talk about Alzheimer's, but has a lot of types, include the ones that if people have been drink too much, you know, be already alcoholic person during their life, they can have this type of dementia. Or sometimes I saw few people when they have too much medication, heavy medication like painkillers during the year, they have the brain intoxicate and then they have just loss of neurons. So it's why it's so important we follow up to understand actually what in each type of disease you treat in a different way. You cannot put everyone in the same basket, because it won't work. It's why it's so important when the doctors ask actually to see how is the brain activity, and then they can determine what area you're having the loss of neurons, and then the care will be more appropriate. I hope I could explain in an easy way.
Oh, it was very clear. Thank you very much. Daniela, you mentioned your mum. Is that where your journey with dementia started?
Yes. I am a cognitive therapist, and I was working back in the years with people with special needs, with disability, in education. I didn't have any experience to support people living with dementia. I knew about brain disorders, that's dementia, Parkinson, AVC, from the university, from the books I have studied, but actually I never had any contact, personal contact. My mom was just 52 years old when she is showing signs of dementia. And when this happened, I was in completely denied. I was telling my mother, this is a brain fog from the menopause, or maybe depression that we even don't know, or maybe you are burnt out, because my mom was working. She was a very active woman, driving, working, traveling. And suddenly, one day, she forgot how to do the number three. Someone asked her, could you take a note of a phone number? And she say yes. And then when they say number three, she could not make number three. And she told me, she calls me later on. And then I said, oh, that's funny. I don't think it's nothing serious, because I could not imagine someone in the early 50s, because in my mind, like, almost people thinking you have dementia when you get old. So that was my idea about dementia. And my mom later on was diagnosed, and I didn't have all the tools to support her. And I already said this in another interview. I think I and my family, we did everything wrong, honestly, because my mom declined so fast from the disease, really fast, really fast. I never had a chance. Like now, I work with clients living with dementia, and actually, it's very pleasure. They are lovely. We do a lot of new things. We talk a lot. They are very active. I didn't have that with my mother. My mom became food dependent very, very quickly. And I try to understand how this happened. And apart that my mom had three types of dementia that took time to discover, because it's very slow, the process of you diagnose and then to confirm the diagnosis really takes a long time. Well, took a long time. But the first thing that my father did, because, you know, they were young, my father told my mother, don't drive more, give me your car key, don't work. Next day, we have someone, my father hired someone to be with her at home because she cannot be alone. She was hallucination in home, so my father paid someone. And we were treating my mom like very overprotective. And I think that was of the reason that my mom was drowned very fast. The second reason, because of this change in her brain, she was not sleeping properly. She's very emotive. She was crying. So my father go to the doctor and tell everything. So the doctor start to prescribe medication for anxiety, medication for sleep, medication for pain, medication for mood. Is a lot of things was prescribing, and then was mask, I think, her symptoms. And my mom just went down the hill very fast. And it's when I start research, I back to study. So I did my specialization in gerontologies, in brain disorders. And I was not living in Brazil with her. I was living in New Zealand. And I don't know if it was from God or universe, however, what people believe. In the same time that my mom was diagnosed, I started working with seniors, with old people that I never worked before. I always work with babies and young people. And suddenly I was offered a job, and I never had contact with any old people. And I started my journey in learning, and everything that I was studying and thinking and have so much questions, how actually we can support someone living with dementia. I was applying with my clients in New Zealand and was working for them, but for my mom was late. So I make a promise to my mom. My mom passed away 2 years ago, but I make a promise to her that first I apologize. I was too late, but I would help any person that comes to me to have a better quality of life, but in a better understanding. And it's what I'm doing right now when I'm receiving people living with dementia, has been now thousands, has no cure. We know that. So I'm not telling cure, but has a hope that we can slow down. And I have been proving my workplace since all the people that I have encountered in training the family and training the staff around the world that we can actually give a better quality of life, and so the decline go really smooth, really slow. That's everything that I do is in my mom's name, because I think she deserved that for me. Yeah, so it's why dementia come to my world, for my personal, very, very personal experience. And until now, I revisited everything that's happening with her, the way that we care about her. But we were not that bad. Mm-hmm. We are just very overprotective. And I learned something with my father as well. It's why I told you in the beginning why I use humor to talk about dementia. Because my father was the primary care of my mother. And until the end, until her last day, he was very caring with her, but with a lot of a great sense of humor. He'll make jokes with her. He'll make laugh, and he'll make jokes with us about my mom as well, but never, of course, to undermine my mother, but just to make us feel a little bit lighter, not too much sad. And one thing that I'm very grateful that I could witness is see what the true love means. So my mom, until the last day, she'll have her favorite perfume. She'll have her nails done, the haircut, the clothes that she likes. Even she could not remember if she was in a bed, like he, just there, just her body was there. My father never let her not to be her. Even the food she likes, what she likes to drink. And he will make sure everyone that was supporting my mom knew who was my mother. And I remember my father is a pastor. And in the beginning, he was praying for God to cure my mother. And one day I told him, joking, of course, I said, I don't think God's listening to your praise. And what about you start praying for God to give you strength to keep looking after my mom? And he did that, and he told me that was the best thing he could do it, because all his guilt is, imagine it, they were ready to be retired, and they have a plan to start traveling, enjoying the life. And my mom becomes sick, so just enjoying life never happened to my mother. So my father has a lot of grief on that. And he took things very light. It's why I didn't break down my family. I and my brothers, when my mom passed, was very calm. We were not desperate. We did what we could do. But I realized during the journey that I call 15 years a journey, that yes, we could do better, but we didn't have the understanding, the knowledge. So that's okay. We are not that guilty. So now I cannot close my eyes with what's happening with someone living with dementia next to me and let other families do the same mistakes because they don't have the knowledge. So it's why I'm very active in LinkedIn, very active in my social media, in the place that they visit me to go, just to make sure people have the right knowledge about actually what is dementia and how we can make people live a very good life with a good quality of life. So that's what's all about my work now.
Yes, I really honor your work, Daniela, and the journey you've been on. And I'd like to say to the listeners who haven't seen your posts that you don't only use humor, but you are very practical. And I chose one of your LinkedIn posts for our interview today. It was an article that made a huge impression on me, and I'm going to tell the listeners about it. You called it The Art of War for Dementia Caregivers Who Never Enlisted. So it's all it's all military jargon. And in this article, you describe 8 rules that are extremely useful to the loved ones of individuals living with dementia, because you transformed these rules into practical guidance for the loved ones of individuals living with dementia and also the caregivers and the medical community. And in the post, you said it all started with a book your father gave you.
Yes, that's fun, because I don't know, I'm a child from the 80s, and I am the eldest, and both my parents, they were teachers. So we have a lot of books at home, but so fun. I never, to be honest, all children book that I read when I was young was from the school library. At my home, I never had any children book. My mom never bought any children book for me. And I love to read since I was really young. And I read everything from the white pages, everything. And we were in a holiday. We have a beach house. And I was really bored because the TV was not working properly. And I already read almost the books and all books that I don't think it was really inappropriate for children my age to read. When I say children, like 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, from Marx, from capitalism, from all that political books and all romances, novels. I don't know if you have this in South Africa, Sabrina, all that small books. I read all day, all. But, you know, like they never impact me. They never, but I always like to read. And I remember I read a book about the Vietnam War when I was 10 years old. And I was so much, why they did that? Things like that. In that shape me, I think, to question. In that day, I remember my father, okay, give that book to me. And say, you're going to need that book in your life. But I don't think he has a conscience about that. He just wants to say, I'm bored. Like, you know, I'm just young. I cannot go alone to the beach, walk to the beach. The TV is not working. Having nothing to do. And then he said, just. And then I read the book. And later on, much later on, as an adult, I was, you know, people use these books to HR, if you are a manager and things. I never give too much credit, but I always told people, maybe that was printing my subconscious, that when you go to a war, you have to know your enemy. So somehow that book was storage in my memory because I always think if I have to deal with someone that stresses me, that's like a war inside me, I have to understand my enemy. I cannot just think my enemy is just my enemy. And then one day I have been trying writing so much different ways, what's dementia, because I understand each person you understand in a different way. And one day just come to me about dementia actually is like a war. First is a war in the brain. The brain is under fire, is being attacked. So literally is a war. Second, the caregivers, the primary cares, is like your family is falling apart. You know, you have your mom, your father, your husband, your wife, your children diagnosed with dementia, is like after that life never you come back to be the same. And slowly, slowly you lose that person. So it's an invisible battle. And I listen to this all the time. And I remember in my workshops, I call, don't let the monsters take your husband, your wife from you. And the public like when I say that, I'm not telling the people living with dementia are monsters, but the disease, for me, dementia is the most cruel disease because doesn't give the people chance to recover. Once the neurons die, that's it. You cannot make more neurons. But you can do things to make the decline of your brain is low, or now the scientists find, they are trying to find a solution to stop the neurons to die when they're attacked by a disease. That gives people a lot of hope. So for me, dealing with dementia is a war. and then comes to me about this book, because Sun Tzu, what he wrote about in the book is about energy, is about, you know, the terrain, the space, the timing when you have to attack your enemy and how you adapt to the battle. And then I just realized that is what dementia needs. You need to understand first the situation. You have to dominate what actually is happening in the brain. And then we will learn how to support people. Because what's happening in the beginning, the family, they, okay, I'm going to support you. But the days go and they become harder, harder, harder. And they come to me and say, Daniela, I can no more. My mom called me 1 million times. My husband he's awake all night pacing the house. My wife, she's now thinking I'm poisoning her food, or she thinks I have another person because it's the dementia attacking the brain. And because you have relationship with these people, like, you know, husband, wife, parents, children, we take things so personal. Like, I remember my mother, in the beginning of her disease, she was acting like she has no disease. And one day she traveled alone to New Zealand. It was a long travel, but she made it and all good. She didn't get lost. She was behaving. And after a few days in my house, she was telling me someone came to my house and stole her credit card. And I said to my mother, no one came to the house, but we're going to find her credit card. But I didn't have that knowledge that I have now, okay? I was quite, oh my God, it's my mom again. And then we go find her credit card and say, here, credit card. No one took her credit card. And the next day again, and I have two daughters, and she'll tell that I bought a new shirt from one daughter, didn't buy for another daughter. So she was creating a little chaos in my home. That was not her, was her brain, but I didn't have that knowledge. Then I was so exhausted mentally. I called my father and said, I think she was planning to be 3 months. I think it's time for she go home because I have no patience. So that's happening. It happens all family. And because I didn't understand that was not my mother, was a symptoms of a disease that she has in her brain. When I wrote that article, is to, when you talk about a war, is not against the person living with dementia, is how we can remove everything that's creating the stress for that person, because all that behavior means communication. When my mom was hallucination or telling someone came to pick up her card or crying without stop, the brain was trying telling me something that back in the time, as I explained, I didn't have the knowledge that I have now, that I could understand, and then I could make sure the environment or the way that I speak with my mother was good for her brain. So the article was about that, that the caregiver, they start a war and they have to be ready. They never ask to be there. So they're never enlisted to be there. But they have to, because if you don't look after your loved one, who is going to look after? And you have to be prepared, like in an army, because it's lack of sleep, it's lack of a social life. And if you don't understand how dementia brain, a brain living with dementia, works and fight against that situation, you end up sick. So this is why I wrote for that. And if you'd like, I can explain briefly the 8 rules that was in the book.
Please. I'd just like to add here that you also said that Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, was an ancient Chinese general strategist and philosopher. So then our listeners have the picture, and I would be very grateful if you could walk us through the eight rules, please.
Yes, yes. So his first rule was the classic one, identify the enemy. In dementia care, of course, the enemy is never the person. It's why I tell the families, don't take something personal. Because when my mom was accusing someone in my house to steal her credit card or me to buy a shirt for one daughter, not for another daughter, back in the time, I was taking this so personal. How come my mom is accusing me to steal her credit card? Or accuse me to not care for my other daughter. I took things very personal. So that's the first rule. The enemy never is the person. The enemy is the brain disorder, or can be the overstimulation, or can be the fear, the pain, or the person feel tired, or things that people doesn't talk too much, the environment, that make the brain really exhausted. That is the enemy, the conditions that why the person is having that behavior. So you have to try understand and don't take this personal. That behavior is happening because of this. So that's your enemy. One example, very simple for people. We have someone that he likes, I call explore, but people, clinical people call wanderings. He starts walking, he goes, so he disappears. He's looking for comfort. He's looking for safety. And this person tried to escape, is what people think. Oh, he's wandering because he tried to escape. No, he's wandering or I like to say he's exploring because he's looking for safety. His brain is looking for something that's going to tell him, you can stay here, you are safe. So that is the first rule. The second rule would be do not interrupt mistakes. Sometimes our enemy, they do mistakes, and sometimes we want to correct them. And I always think, why do you want to correct the enemy? Let them make the mistake and fail. In dementia, what this means? Not all mistakes need to be corrected. Sometimes they just need to be a little bit orientation or not. Some orientation can cause more anxiety. So we have to ask ourselves, first for me, safety. Is this dangerous or they are just doing something different from what we used to do? Because if it's dangerous, yes, we have to give orientation. If the person is doing that mistake and it's no harm, it's just is the way that the brain actually is observing and make this task be done in that way. And that's okay. That could be my mom used to put coins inside the socks. This is the best place to store coins? No. That's dangerous? No. Why I should tell my mom to not put the coins in the socks? It's just a waste of my energy. So I just let my mom to keep doing just little mistakes. That don't harm anyone. The peace that we have, because imagine all the time I tell my mom, again, why are you putting more coins in the socks? I can't believe you because it's how we do. The peace that you have to not say that, the quality of that moment to just see and walk away because it's no harm to do that. That's like priceless. So it's why people have to point in the mistakes to the person, create more anxiety. That's called withdrawal. If you see people living with dementia want to stay alone in the room. Don't interact more with the family. People say, oh, it's because the dementia. No, it's because they don't want to commit mistakes. They have a little bit self-awareness. They are doing some mistake, but they have been corrected in front of everyone. They, as normal person, because, you know, all that behaviors that people living with dementia is a human behavior. It's not any behavior that's not human. They feel ashamed, so they prefer to be sleeping. They prefer to be alone. They prefer to not interact too much when they cannot remember their name. When people say, do you remember when you went to the park the other day? Or do you remember me? Like the classic question when people say, do you remember me? And they cannot remember. So next time when they plan to go out, they decide to not go out because they have to remember who is all the people that the brain cannot recollect more that memories. So the second rule is just, if they are making mistakes that's harmless, let them do it. It's not going to affect your life. Just let them do it. The rule three is very linked with the rule two, is avoid unnecessary battles. Sometimes in a war, some tools will say, little battles won't make you one. So sometimes it's good to backward yourself and waiting for the time to come. You don't actually go battling everyone to show power. The brain of a person living with dementia lost flexibility. They don't have more the logic that they have before. That's not coming back. When we choose to protect the person emotional, to not stress, that's the best approach. What I see often is people, or I can come back to my mother. If my mother tell me, why you buy that t-shirt to this daughter, not the other daughter, and then I go in an argument with my mother, I say, you're wrong. I didn't buy anything. She has that t-shirt many years ago. I didn't buy anything. I like them both the same. But if I want to justify with my mom and go to argue with my mom, what victory are you tell my mother? Like, I am right. Or often people say about the date, calendar date. And then all the time, because they cannot remember, you know, we know the short-term memory is not accurate. And then the family, you say, you see, I was right. You cannot manage it. Let me manage your calendar because you do everything wrong. Now I prove to you, you have the appointment at 10 o'clock. It was not 9. And now we came to the doctor. It's not 9, it's 10. I told you many times. And people keep talking. We have to remember who has the brain injured is that person living with dementia. So if you won the argument, you think it is a victory. Okay, see mom, see daddy, husband, wife, I'm always right. Will not help or collaborating anything. So the rule three is why you are doing that battles. That's very unnecessary. And I just remember one example here that's real. I have one client. So the wife comes to me and tell, every day, he will open the cabinet door and he'll open and close. But he'll do this for 10 minutes and then he will stop. Or he will take off the tea towels, and put it in a freezer. She told me she got really annoyed. Every day, that sound about open the cabinet, close. And then when she looks for the tea towels, they were all in the freezer. And they will start arguing. So the wife, you tell the husband, why you do this? I told you, stop to do that. I can't more. And she comes to me very frustrated, very upset. And I told her, what's that about? Like, what's so bad for him? Open and close. He said, no, it's just annoying me. And then I said, well, that's your problem. It's not annoying him, so it's not his problem. And about the 2 towers, I actually found fun. And I told her, think we are in Queensland. It's very hot. You have frozen 2 towers. What's the harm of that? So why you are choosing that battle? Why you want to win that one? Because for me, would be, if my husband, living with dementia, decide that my recliner is his toilet seat, that's a big battle that you have to face. Or in the morning, he doesn't want to take his pills from the heart disease maybe he has. That's a big battle. So I have to put my energy, my stress, my argument in that situation. But I put the towel in the freezer or open the cabinet and close for 5 minutes. Let it does. Like, why are you so annoying with that? And now she comes to me and she say, you know, when you told me, actually, I even don't care more about anything. I say, if it's not going to harm him, let him do what he wants to do. But people get annoyed because we want everything perfect and in line. But when the family understands that, they actually has more peace in the house. Never is a victory when you win an argument with someone that the brain is injured.
A quick note on what I do. I showcase health and wellness experts and creative individuals who inspire transformation. To help them expand their reach, build credibility, and connect with new clients. Featuring these professionals in podcast episodes and articles benefits my worldwide audience who gain access to solid information and get to know experts who can support their growth. If you're a wellness expert keen to raise your profile, visit marietsneeman.co.za and explore the services section. I offer my podcast guests and article contributors step-by-step support, especially if it's your first time being interviewed. Now, back to my guest.
The rule number 4 is when he talks about we have to know our terrain, actually where the field, where is our battle happening. And we have to understand, this is to understand about our environment. The environment could be your home, could be anything that treats the brain living with dementia. Sometimes people starting having some, they call challenge behavior, I call communication, because all behavior is a form of communication. And sometimes could be the noise, could be the lighting, could be the house's too much clutter, could be they are not familiar with the space that they are at that moment. When we design a place, and then when I say design, I think when a person living with dementia, we have to make some changes in the house, not change the house like we are not going to change the way that person has been living for 50 years, but we need to pay attention. Maybe the lighting, the glare of the light could cause a stress to the brain, maybe too much things because the brain doesn't like chaotic views. So much clutter can be a trigger for the brain. Sometimes the carpets, they have strong patterns, can trigger the brain. We have to understand when a person has a behavior that challenges us, what's around them? And then we understand in that moment, where is our war, our battle? When you know our field, we can actually support, we will win that battle. But we have to understand the fact, one example, I have a client that always after lunch, she was not always, but she starts after lunch for every day. After 1 hour and a half, she'll cry. She'll cry. And when you say, asking her why she's crying, she'll tell you, oh, because I miss my mom, I miss my sister. And every day, but like every day after 1 hour and 1 hour and a half. And then I found that she's not crying about she miss her mother or her sister. It's something behind that. I think it's clinical. So I spoke with her doctor. So her doctor tested her. And because they didn't want to do an endoscopy yet, he gave some reflux medication. That's it. She stopped crying after a few days under that medication. So sometimes when they are crying, they might feel pain, but the brain cannot tell. The brain has no more ability to describe they're feeling pain. Where's my pain? The brain has no more that ability. But the brain can cry or then can become more agitated. So it's why important for you won that battle, you need to understand the environment, this what's trigger that behavior. The rules 5 is again all linked. We attack them, the strategy, not the soldiers. In a war, we think the two opposites, they will attack to kill each other. And then how they won the war. But the generals say, actually, imagine if the soldiers just been shooting anyone and kill everyone. That's necessary. You're not going to win the war. What's going to make you win the war? You understand what approach your enemy is having and you attack the approach, not the soldiers. So in dementia, it's like that. We, when you have a behavior that we cannot understand, we don't ask, what's wrong with my father, with my mother? We have what system in the brain is not supporting the brain, because it's not about the person. It's all about the brain. Is something missing in the brain that's making my father, my mom, my husband, my wife, or my son acting like that? I have to change my approach. Is nothing wrong with my mother, but her brain is missing something. So what's missing in my mom's brain that's making she behave like that? And when I understand that, I can change the way that I communicate with my mother or I support my mother. And then that's going to change the outcome. That's all about the rule 5. The rule 6 is channel the river. The river, in most wars, when you have a war in the big fields, they like to have water close in their camp, military camp. With people living with dementia, we cannot block the energy. As a woman or man, we have our energy. And sometimes we want to block that energy. One example, if someone needs to walk a lot, like spacing all the time, maybe is the brain try regulate the stress. I will not tell the person, stop walking, sit here, calm down. Sit here, honey. You're going to be okay. It's not about the person. It's about the brain. The brain needs to self-regulate. And how the brain self-regulate? With movement. So I have to let the energy flow. Or sometimes I have beautiful ladies. They love crafting. And they want to keep doing. And then someone say, no, stop doing that. Come on, watch TV. Art craft is finished now. Now it's time to watch TV. And then it's not what the person wants. It's what the brain asks, what they need to regulate the emotion. Because if that person was doing craft, she was regulating her brain. And then when she goes sit down in the recline to watch TV, you can see she's feeding herself. She's starting to be very unsettled. Maybe she'll be hungry. Maybe she'll be thirsty because the brain is not regulate that stress. All human, we have released our energy. Like a child. Child, we know they have to run, because so much energy. We tell this, if you have children, grandchildren, let them run. As an adult, if we don't release our energy, we're going to start feeling sad. We're going to start feeling stressed. Why the doctors tell you if you have any mental health issues, do exercise? Because our body was projected for movement. So the rule 6 is about that. Do not block the energy. Let flow. Create a safe space for the person. If you try to keep that person more restricted, that's going to increase agitation. When you let flow, you are going to reduce the stress. The rule 7, I like that because let confusion reveal intelligence. When everything is chaotic, everything is so out of the place, is how sometimes we can see how our brain are so smart. I always like to say the brain is a third person. I call he or she is a third person. And he has or she has its own personality. Even people with advanced dementia, the brain is still searching for meaning, a purpose in life. So the person, you think that person is there in the recline, is not even move too much. And then you think, okay, that person lost the meaning of life, the purpose of life. It's the opposite. The brain is still looking for this meaning. When I see someone that I love, that activity is very good for the brain, folding napkins all the time, keep folding. Generally, we say, oh, this person is declining. Now he keep repeating. That's not declining. That's their thinking. They're looking for purpose. So we cannot never underestimate preserved intelligence. So the brain has the intelligence store. And in few moments, you are going to see that. But you have to have the eyes. Always thinks out of the box. Dementia changes the abilities. Yes, that's true. But never erase the human behind that ability. I have a story very, very recently. I have one of my clients. He's 85 years old. He has advanced dementia. And one day, I have a few ladies knitting, doing squares. And he passed, and he looked, and he told me, I know to do that. I was kind. Okay. Do you want to try? I was not putting any faith because I never thought he had that ability. And he did the square formula. He started doing the square, 85 years old. I spoke with his wife after, and she told me, really, he did that? I said, yes, I can. I have a video, I record, I took photos. He said his mom, when he was 10 years old, he was watching his mom used to do a lot. But he was 10 years old. Maybe his mom teaching him. Somehow, that day, we unlock that memory box, and he could do that. And he's one of the clients, he with advanced dementia. So now, at home, when he feel agitated, the wife just giving him some knitting to do, and he's doing squares, and now they are putting all the squares together and making blankets to donate for people. It's not wonderful. How intelligent he is in his 85 years old. The rule 8, we have to understand what's victory. In a war, victory, sometimes when you think when you won the battle, we think that's a victory. In dementia care, victory is not we back to the past and fix in that person. Now we adjust that person in our home. That's not victory. Victory is when we create moments of safety, of connection, of emotions. When you feel that person living with us and living with dementia is respected, we can say we won the battle. We won that moment. In that moment that was very chaotic, and now after the way that I approach, I support that person, I feel that person now feel respected, you know that you won the war, that battle. All about these rules, you can apply for any type of problems, challenges, moments in life, in your school, in a workplace, in your family, when you deal with children, when you deal with your teenager children, when you deal with your adults, when you deal with your parents, when you deal in your relationship. Because what's happening now, and that's one of the reasons I was writing this article, how many people know everything about gardening? They know how to plant, they know how to seed, they know how to look after, they know how to reproduce, they know all the information. How many people knows actually what's happening inside the brain? Not just about the emotion, the chemistry of the brain. When you have your cortisol high, your brain doesn't work, doesn't perform in a positive way, like when your dopamine is high. Not many people knows, because talk about our brain, we don't actually talk to our children at school. We don't talk too much about that. We don't open the community to understand. So when I was writing that book, is you have to know better the person that is living with dementia that you are supporting. Because otherwise, you are going to create, I tell them again about the little monsters. You are going to create a little monsters and you cannot handle. One example, that happens to my mother. Okay, you sit down here. You want water? Here's your water. Here's your food. Okay, here's your clothes. We did everything. We create a monster. Why? Not my mother, but the dementia. My mom then cannot more eat, so I have to feed her. Smart job for us. My mom, her legs not working more properly because she even cannot go take a glass of water. It's why it's so important to encourage people. Sometimes my clients tell me, and I'm not rude, I always make fun. I say, even if our body is falling apart, we can stand up and take a glass of water. Because that One second movement, you give information to your brain that you are alive and you want to live and you want to be with good quality of life. Our mistake as a human is overprotecting. Sometimes we overprotect because, of course, we love the person. We don't want to suffer more. But most of our overprotection is because we don't want more job. If you feed a child, and we know it's good for the child to start feeding by itself, we know that's so messy. You have to clean all, because now at 2 years old or 1 year old, we will not be able to clean in the same standards as you. So we start feeding, and then he's going to learn, take more time to learn. Same is, this is a human. I'm not comparing children with someone living with dementia. I'm just saying, as a human, we all have the same behavior. Doesn't matter our age. So when we get old, we seem more fragile. And yes, we might feel more fragile. We have more pain, more mobility. But if we start doing everything for that person, take them the chance to risk, to choose what they want, we create little monsters, not the person again, it's the brain. Because then you have to do more things. It's what my clients, they complain. I have to do everything for my husband. I have to do everything for my wife, for my mom. But in the beginning, when the disease starts, you overprotect it. So the brain now lost the ability to do alone. And sorry, it'll be very hard for you back how it was. But if you keep promoting the independence, like all my clients, they make all their coffee and tea. Sometimes maybe the coffee and tea won't look great. I have staff to give them orientation, put a little bit more coffee. But sometimes we let the client take the risk. When they drink the coffee, they say, oh, it's too strong. Or, oh my God, that's too weak. I need more coffee. And they make that assumption. That's how we stimulate the brain for independence. I can talk for 3 days, Mariette, if you don't stop me.
Thank you so much, Daniela. Yeah. I'm going to listen to these rules again and again, because as you said, it can be applied to many situations. But thank you for explaining, and especially for defining the enemy so one understands. And then the other thing is coming to the independence. Thank you very much for explaining that.
You are very welcome.
I was going to ask you, what can we do to support your Whispers of Love project?
Yes, my project is, at the moment, I'm trying first to share my posts, visit my LinkedIn. If they don't have LinkedIn, I try a Facebook page, and just to participate and engage it, that is the big support. And I hope in the future, this year, I was invited to be in 4 conferences. So I hope to attend then, and then I can share more my experience. And I have agenda open to present workshop for workplaces. I can do online, I can do presential. That is the help that who work in the industry, if they want someone that speaks from the heart and very directed about dementia care, I'm happy to help. But what I like more is people share, because it's so important for you to have a community with knowledge, but also understand. I have posts that I'm pretty sure people you understand, not maybe in one way, maybe in another way. So that is the big support that people can give to me, sharing my posts.
Thank you. I'd like to say 2 things. The first thing is that I will put all of this into the podcast notes. So
okay.
I will find your LinkedIn profile, plus you said you have one on Facebook, right?
I will text to you my Facebook.
Thank you.
Your name. Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
And then you can add.
Yes, I'll put that in the podcast notes. And really, I must say those LinkedIn posts, you have the most wonderful illustrations accompanying them. Where do you find them?
That's a very cute history. I always like drawing, but it was not me. It was my children. I have a daughter that has the talents. Of course, she uses artificial intelligence these days. Mm. Young people is what they do. But the conception is so good because I have this moment with her and my other teenagers that we talk about my post and they give me suggestions. And you can see they are very intentionally like a children when children draw, because I wanted to treat dementia to be like a complex topic. I want to return back as a language of emotion. And I think when you see a drawing by a child, our conscious, our emotions go for, you know, for more pleasant to see. So yeah, so all the ideas is the colors. We sit down when she draws and then she put in an app, of course, to create more the scenario, but we choose the colors and everything. And people like it. I have two books to be published. And one of these books is for children, is about dementia. And the drawing, they are amazing. And I hopefully very soon this book will be available because the drawing is really good.
Oh, that is excellent. When you have that published, Daniela, please send me the information and then I can add it to the podcast notes, because you know the information stays on my website, well, for as long as I and my work last. And before I let you go, may I ask you a fun question?
Okay.
Daniela, if you were a parachute, what would you look like?
A parachute. Then now I think I will have a heart shape.
Mm.
Because I'm full of love. I'm full of, you know, empathy to help people. But I think I will be like the round ones, like a donut maybe. I love cookies. I love sweets. I love chocolate. So that's, you'll be me. You'll be me. Very sweet.
Yeah.
With all the donuts falling beside me and cookies, because I always have cookies with me. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. And the cookies and the coffee, they often feature in your posts, which I always enjoy.
Yes. I love my cappuccino. I even told my children, if one day my brain starting showing signs of dementia, always tell everyone that I cannot live with my cappuccino and my cookies. Because I'm so scared they're going to give me tea. I don't like tea. I like in coffee. I like my cappuccino. And that's so funny because my children already know. And they know I love biscuits. And even my co-workers, when I'm stressed, they come with a pack of cookies. That's so sweet. Or cappuccino. They already know. Everyone, I make everyone be aware. Because that's so important. So we tell people how you can regulate your stress so people can help you. So that's all about.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. It illustrates what you have been talking about, just in a different way. So thank you very much, Daniela, for, I think I can say, helping us look at dementia with fresh eyes.
Yes, thank you.
And for sharing your lived experience, and an especially big thank you for all the wonderful work you do.
Thank you. And I'm very pleased for your invitation. I hope your public can learn or understand, or if they don't understand, just starting to looking for more information, you know, that little spark.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't understand what people try to tell us, but then we have little things behind our ear to go looking for more information, because how much we know about dementia, more easy is going to be the journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Thank you very much. Also to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. It would be a great help to me and my platform if you'd subscribe to this podcast series. And if you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.